Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Brian Kiravu for Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. Welcome. Thanks for joining us this morning as we listen to Valley of the Jig by String Cheesy Incident, as we have our permission from Psy Fidelity Records to be playing their music on Railbird Central. Happy to be doing that. Rams weekend, throwback weekend. The Packers take on the St. Louis Rams on Sunday at Lambeau Field. Are you ready for it, folks? It's been a long time coming. John Rahor on our live blog says, hell yes. Should be a good time this weekend. Hope you can join us, you know, one more time. I mean, we've advertised this a ton on CheeseheadTV.com, PocketDoppler.com, but if you want to join us, we're going to be having two public events this weekend. The Tweet Up, the social gathering at the Abbey Bar in De Pere, Saturday evening, this Saturday, tomorrow night, and on Sunday, a tailgate party at the Green Bay Distillery right next to Lambeau Field, right by the Don Hutson Center on the east side of Lambeau Field before the game and even after the game as well. So after the game is done, head on back, and the party continues, and it should be a good time, kind of our signature date on the calendar for us at Cheesehead TV, this public event. Everyone's invited, and we're really excited to be putting that on. So hope you can join us. I'm happy to be meeting everybody there who shows up. Kind of interesting. One of those things where I speak to a lot of people online via Twitter and email and things like that. And, you know, a lot of people I haven't met in person before, and it's kind of exciting to actually meet everybody and see them face-to-face for the first time. So that's the cool thing about the internet, so bringing people together. But let's preview this game, the Packers meeting the Rams. Unfortunately, there's probably going to be a little less drama than, I suppose that isn't unfortunate for the Packers, but if you're just a fan of football, I personally have a hard time seeing the Rams being competitive in this game. Not that I haven't been wrong before. I'm sure there's many fans out there can point out my many wrong predictions. But anyhow, I think most people would agree, you know, based upon the Packers being the biggest favorite in the entire NFL this week. They're favored by, 15 points, I think, or 15 and a half, something like that. Biggest favorite in the NFL this week. I mean, the Packers will probably be the biggest favorite in most games in the NFL this season, the way they're playing right now, if they continue to be undefeated. But yeah, I mean, it's I see the Packers rolling. I can't see them not even covering that 15 points. I mean, it's I see a blowout for the Packers. I kind of see this as being a very similar game as 2 weeks ago when the Packers faced the Broncos, a good undefeated team against a team that's, you know, one of the poorer teams in the NFL, or one that's struggling at least. Rams are good and young. They got some nice young talent there, but they're just not ready for prime time yet. I think they're going to need a couple more good draft classes to get a good core there of players. So, you know, it's, I see the Packers, you know, coming through big time, but, you know, let's take a look at some of the headlines today. If you scroll to the top of the live blog, you can open this morning's Packers Daily Links, and the top story today, quarterback Aaron Rodgers and center Scott Wells don't care much for the NFL rules requiring microphones placed on the center. So the story comes from Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com, and just bear with me for a second while I read the idea of the story here, the main focus of it, if you will. Quote, Aaron Rodgers and Scott Wells haven't actually talked about divvying up the weekly $5,000 fine, but the Green Bay Packers quarterback and center both heard about Baltimore center Matt Burke getting hit in the pocketbook for not wearing the NFL-mandated microphone last week, and they kind of like the idea. So, you know, the backstory goes here. This year, for the first time, centers are required to wear a microphone on their person, you know, clipped to their pads somehow. I'm not exactly sure how or where it is, but, you know, it's attached by, I believe I read, a NFL Films technician. And, you know, it's not required that the center necessarily wear it. Apparently, the teams have a choice. Either the center and the backup center have to wear it, or both starting guards have to wear it. There's a choice. But, you know, I don't know who you choose. Or apparently, Scott Wells has worn it already this season. So, apparently, they've decided to go that way. You know, teams don't like the rules, at least Scott Wells and Aaron Rodgers, according to their comments in this article, don't like it because they don't like the other team hearing the audibles and hearing the cadence. You know, Aaron Rodgers said, you know, we play certain teams within our division two times a year, and then there's other teams they'll play once during the year but could see again in the playoffs. And teams are going to go back to recordings of the game that are on TV and go back and listen to the audibles, listen to the cadence, and kind of pick these things up. And, you know, it's just something that they feel, you know, would be, if they're not wearing the microphone, it's why not give them a competitive advantage? You know, it's a $5,000 fine, or that's what Matt Burke was fined for. And, you know, is that a $5,000 fine for guys that are making millions? Is it worth it, you think, perhaps, to, you know, just pay the fine and not follow along with this rule? That the NFL wants it because they want the ancillary sound. They want to hear the pads clacking together when the offensive linemen hit the defensive linemen, things like that. And, you know, I'm sure they don't mind getting the audio from the quarterback making calls at the line of scrimmage as well. Kind of brings you into the game a little bit. But, you know, so the Packers don't want this information to get out, and most teams, it appears, feel the same way. So, you know, I suppose the question here is, what do you think about this rule? DJ Protege on our live blog says that rule is ridiculous. If you want to call in, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. What do you think of the rule? Should Scott Wells wear the microphone? Should they pay a fine? And feel free to share your thoughts here or on the live blog. I don't know what to make of it. I suppose I can understand the broadcasters, Fox, CBS, NBC, ESPN, who's ever broadcasting a game. I suppose the NFL Network will eventually on Thursday nights. I can see why they want the sound. You know, it's how much of a competitive advantage are they really getting by going back and listening? It's hard to say. I mean, sure, I'm sure they can pick up some things on audibles and learn a quarterback's cadence, but, you know, the cadence, I think, is kind of stretching it. I mean, I think if you're a quarterback and you're going to, try to deceive a team into jumping off sides, you're going to have to change your cadence from time to time anyhow. I mean, if it's just simply a thing where that's, you're using one trick to get a team offsides your whole career or all season long. I mean, teams are going to pick up on that after a game anyhow. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe Aaron Rodgers mixes it up from game to game and, you know, against some opponents sometimes and against others another. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas out here. But anyhow, it's weird. You know, it's, I, you hate having to force people to do things they don't want to do, I suppose. You know, I feel bad for Wells and Rogers. I mean, Rogers doesn't have to wear it, but I mean, you know, if Scott Wells doesn't want to wear it, well, you know, should he have to wear it? Comment from Revolution MDK on the live blog. Sure, the NFL will just start bumping the fine upwards if everybody starts doing that, though. It's a possibility, I suppose. Right now, it's a $5,000 fine, which, you know, is rather small to a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's making, you know, was Aaron Rodgers making upwards of $10 million a season? He makes about an average 12, doesn't he? I forget what it's at exactly at, but, you know, we're talking about that. $5,000 is, you know, a pittance to him. And Scott Wells, while he's not making Aaron Rodgers money, is making plenty himself. Now, on the other hand, the backup center has to wear this microphone as well. And, you know, it's unless an injury happens, you know, Evan Dietrich Smith is the backup center for the Packers. And, you know, unless Scott Wells get injured or there's a blowout, he's not coming in. But, you know, just say he did, that would be a rather large fine for a guy like him who's making the NFL minimum. So, I mean, I suppose I'm grasping at straws here. I mean, we're talking about saying that's, you know, probably isn't going to happen, but you know, it's interesting just to talk about this and debate and talk about what could happen or may happen. So that I found to be one of the more interesting stories coming out of yesterday. In other NFL news, having more to do with the game at hand here, several outlets wrote articles on Brian Bulaga yesterday. If you go back to this morning's Packers Daily links at Cheesehead TV, links at the top of the page. Brian Bulaga said he was, you know, I think he used the word, quote, optimistic about playing this weekend against the Rams on Sunday at Lambeau Field. He's missed the past two games, and Marshall Newhouse has filled in for him, and, you know, even when Chad Clifton went down, Derek Sherrod came in. You know, but it looks like Brian Bulaga is healthy or getting healthy. You know, what kind of scares me a little bit is the report from Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette yesterday saying that it appeared Brian Bulaga was walking with a slight limp. And that's the only place I really saw that was just from him. You know, here's a case, and I suppose we can debate this as well. I mean, what do you think about Brian Bulaga coming back this week? You know, I suppose if they determine he's fully healthy, and, you know, far be it from me to, you know, determine that. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not seeing Brian Bulaga day in and day out like they are, but if he's healthy, you know, I suppose play him. But I mean, if it's true, he's kind of walking with a limp, and, you know, maybe they're just concerned that they want him back because Chad Clifton is now out and they're a little more thin along the offensive line. You know, do you sit Brian Bulaga yet? I mean, the Packers have games against two teams with a combined one win before the bye. The Packers take on the winless Rams this week, and then they take on the one-win Minnesota Vikings next week. I mean, potentially, not that you can count any game as just this automatic win in today's NFL where parity rules and upsets happen, as the old saying, any given Sunday happens fairly often, and often enough to remind you that no game is a given. You know, do the Packers sit Brian Bulaga, though? And, you know, not only would he sit the next two games, then he'd sit the bye week, and then he'd have the whole week, you know, prior to the game coming back from the bye. He'd practically be sitting out for the next month as he continues to, recover, build up strength in his knee, and really gets ready for the stretch run. So, it's a debate. DJ Protege on her live blog saying, "I would rather have Bulaga sit till the bye." John Rahor comments, "Could be a good confidence builder and give game experience to both." Yeah, I mean, here we have Marshall Newhouse and Derek Sherrod. And I suppose we can even debate here too, if Bulaga comes back, who's that left tackle and who's that right tackle? And we've talked a little bit about this before. Marshall Newhouse played at left tackle last week. Brian Bulaga played there a little bit last year during training camp, during the preseason. But primarily was the right tackle. If I had to guess, I would say Packers keep Bulaga at right tackle where he played last year, where he's played all year this year. And, Marshall Newhouse, the athletic guy, keep him at left tackle where he played last week and did well against the Falcons. Wasn't facing a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro on the other side of the defense by any means, but still, for the first playing time he's ever gotten there in a regular season game, that's, pretty good, in my opinion, for a guy like Marshall Newhouse. And comments on the live blog. Packer T says, "Bulaga will play when the doctors clear him. Plain and simple." Brad Stanley comments, "We are quite thin at the line if Bulaga isn't in the game." That brings up a good point as well. If just by chance Brian Bulaga couldn't play, the Packers, they're down to right now, Evan Dietrich Smith, even him, he was on the injury report this week, a new addition to the injury report. I haven't heard it's anything serious that's going to keep him from playing, but, it's one of those things where he could, miss time. I'm not sure. We're going to find out today the status of all the players listed on the injury report. We kind of hear practice reports during the week. We hear they did not practice, or they were limited, or they were a full participant, things like that. But as far as actually being, the status, the probable, questionable, doubtful categories, those come this week. And the Packers, they have, they brought Ray Dominguez up from the practice squad this week. But they said, or head coach Mike McCarthy said, he's practicing primarily to be an interior offensive lineman, a guard or a center. So, what do the Packers do if Bulaga doesn't play at the tackle positions? That would be an interesting debate here as well. Obviously, Newhouse and Sherrod will start at both tackles, but what if one of them were to suffer an injury? Where do the Packers go from there? TJ Lang could swing out to one of the tackle positions. He's played both left tackle and right tackle at various times in the regular season, not this year, but in the past. Ray Dominguez, their new player, although they say he's practicing to be an interior offensive lineman, he did play tackle during training camp and in the preseason a little bit, and he's obviously not a guy who has a whole lot of experience. I know even Evan Dietrich Smith has practiced during training camp at left tackle. I'm not sure he's ever played there in a game. Maybe he has, and I just haven't seen it. But, they're thin. They're thin. DJ Protege says, "Put Kuhn at guard." Packer T says, "They've dressed only 7 offensive linemen every game so far." Yeah, they have. You know, they don't carry a lot of depth on the offensive line. You know, I would assume if Bulaga didn't go, I mean, you obviously know who the starting five are, and the backups would be Evan Dietrich Smith and Ray Dominguez, and, you know, the Packers would just have to, you know, move somebody who is primarily a guard out to tackle. You know, whether it's TJ Lang, which could be probably the most likely option, I'd say, move him out to tackle because he has experience there, and he's been doing well this year, so that might be the most likely option, and then they insert one of the guys at guard, whether it be Evan Dietrich Smith or, you know, Ray Dominguez or whoever. Have to assume Evan Dietrich Smith. I mean, he's been with them all year long and has played this regular season so far as a backup. You know, when the games have gotten out of hand, he's come in and played a little bit. Not that it's happened a lot by any means. You know, a lot to talk about here on the offensive line, given all the injuries that have happened. It's, you know, Chad Clifton is hurt. Brian Bulaga is hurt. You know, the Packers are kind of working through all these injuries, and it's one of those things where that little noise is killing me, isn't it? Can you guys hear that noise in the background? That's our Skype line. Corey Behnke, our master here, technician, has about 20 conversations going on the Skype line. I may have to close the Skype line down here because it's just driving me crazy and distracting me. There we go. I hope that stops it. Might have to log out eventually. But we plug on here at Railbird Central, or at least I try to keep things under control here and going on. As I was saying, the Packers dealing with injuries on the offensive line. They have Chad Clifton and Brian Bulaga, who have, you know, had to miss time, both of them. Not only that, on the injury report this week is Evan Dietrich Smith. And, you know, so they're trying to wade through all these injuries. And you know, I think the Packers will be okay. It sounds like Brian Bulaga will come back. And if he does, you know, all this debate here has been a moot point, I suppose. But like I said, it's always fun to try to predict the future and try to pretend that we know something here on Railbird Central. Interesting, you know, that the Packers this week, when they elevated Ray Dominguez from the practice squad, that opened a spot up there where the Packers could sign somebody. And the person they chose to sign was Cecil Newton, brother of Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. And perhaps even more interesting, the whole backstory before Cam joined the Panthers, you know, his time at Auburn, where he not only won a Heisman Trophy and a national championship, but the whole controversy there about, you know, whether he was how he was recruited to Auburn, and his father allegedly soliciting money. Although they've been found innocent because, you know, Cecil Jr., I think it is, you know, plays for the Packers. Cecil Sr. is his father, the guy who is allegedly, you know, tried to bribe universities with, you know, to get Cam, not Cecil Jr., but to get Cam to play for them. And Auburn, you know, the NCAA just 2 days ago stopped their investigation of Auburn and concluded that, you know, it's nothing happened, or at least there wasn't sufficient evidence for anything to happen. So, you know, there's just all these backstories with, you know, Cecil Newton joining the Packers, and, you know, as Cecil Newton, though, Jr., the guy the Packers just signed, I got to keep clarifying this because two guys named the same name, but, you know, he wasn't involved in any of it, so it probably is a moot point, actually, to, you know, try to, you know, pull him into any of this because it really doesn't concern him as far as I know, as far as we know, but, you know, just an interesting backstory that all this had happened and a little bit of a talking point at the least. So the Packers face the Rams this weekend. You know, I gave my prediction on the Against the Spread column that I write every week here at Cheesehead TV. I think the Packers cover the spread. The spread is, what did we say, 15 points? 15 and a half. I think the Packers cover easily. My prediction for the game, Packers 42, Rams 10. I really do think it's going to be that much of a blowout. So the over-under was saying like 47 points. I think the Packers almost get that themselves. And, you know, so I see the game going over. And, you know, the Packers offense last week scored its fewest point total of the season, 25 points. I think that's an aberration. I think they score more this week, obviously, with my prediction. And, you know, I think the home field advantage is part of it, but also part of it is that the Rams defense hasn't done a great job of stopping anybody so far. So, you know, I'm sure Packer fans would be happy to see a blowout. They're just happy to see the team win and stay undefeated and want to see the Packers win as much as possible and stay undefeated for as long as possible. So, John Rahor on her live blog said it is going to be a complete a destruction Sunday, complete dismantling of the Rams. It very well could be. So we wait and see what happens on Sunday as the Rams come to Lambeau Field. Like we said before, as far as Wisconsin sports go, it's Wisconsin teams versus the St. Louis teams, Packers versus Rams, and the Brewers continuing to play the St. Louis Cardinals. What a win last night, huh? The Brewers down 2-1 in the NLCS, and they win last night to even it up at 2-2 on the road. And a fantastic performance from Randy Wolf last night. I can't say enough about that. After getting torched in Arizona in the NLDS, he turns around, gets another chance, and does a very good job against the Cardinals last night. So congrats to the Brewers as they extend the series. I will be watching with great interest tonight as they wrap up the St. Louis portion of the series. And the Packers, or the Brewers, pardon me, once again, forcing a game, at least one game, to be played in Milwaukee. So, game will be coming back to Milwaukee. I think that's just huge in itself. This will be the sixth playoff game this season being played in Milwaukee, if not seven, if necessary, on next Monday. So, yeah, that is huge for the Milwaukee Brewers to be getting playoff games at home, not only for the home field advantage, but just the money they bring in as well. You know, the ticket prices are higher, parking is higher, the Packers or the Brewers are bringing in more money, and that is more money for them to sign guys like Prince Fielder, however unlikely that might be, but even if he leaves, to sign other free agents to replace him. So, man, just a great time to be a Wisconsin sports fan this week. Hopefully both teams get wins against the St. Louis teams. At least that's my that is my opinion here. From Brian Kirivu on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Thank you everybody for joining us this morning, talking a little bit about the Packers and the Rams. I'm excited to see all of you who will be at Throwback Weekend this weekend. at the Abbey on Saturday night, at the Green Bay Distillery on Sunday morning. Excited to see you all. Thank you to our moderator today, John Rahor, on the live blog, and thank you everybody else for joining us. Have a good weekend. Have a good Friday night here as we get ready for Throwback Weekend here at Cheesehead TV with our permission from Psy Fidelity Records. I leave you today with the song called Nemo by Umphreys McGee off the Safety in Numbers album. Take care. Go Pack Go. We'll see you later.